Hey, denk dran, dass auch dein Immunsystem Hunger hat. Und probier's mal mit den Gesundheitszielen zur Ernährung in der App Auka Navida. Hol dir Tipps, Rezepte und Challenges für dein gesünderes Ich. Jetzt die App Auka Navida downloaden und loslegen. Auka Plus. Aus Liebe zur Gesundheit.
The Axe of the Blood God.
Welcome to another episode of Axe of the Blood God, US Gamer's official RPG podcast. I'm your host, Kat Bailey. With me, as always, my lovely co-host, Nadia Oxford.
Hello, everybody. I'm just going to say that Kat loves you all very much because she says she's 90% better, but she's still coughing her guts out, so...
No, I'm extremely healthy. The Blood God gives me strength.
She does not have the plague whatsoever.
We're well into 2018 now, the second week, and this is the point where we are going to be talking about the RPGs that we are anticipating for the rest of the year. And while the pickings do look kind of slim, there are still some that are very interesting to us, including an RPG from a certain series that Nadia loves so very, very, very much. I bet you can't guess it which one it is. It's the one that she is always talking about. It's not Final Fantasy or Persona.
No, the one series to talk about more than those two is definitely Dragon Quest. In fact, I just finished watching the Awesome Games Done Quick Run of Dragon Quest, done in like less than half an hour, and just the RNG manipulation was incredible. I really enjoyed that.
How did they do it?
It's hard to explain. Like, I can't remember the runner's name, I'm sorry, and that's really disrespectful of me, but basically, he counted the tiles and the frames on the tiles, and even the frames in the text boxes, and, like, even the way that the characters move, like, you know, how JRPG NPCs do that little shuffle aimlessly, even that had a purpose, and he could tell what enemies he was going to come against and when just by analyzing how they were walking in the castle town. It was pretty incredible.
Wow, I mean, when you know all of the stuff that's happening underneath a game, you can totally manipulate it in so many different interesting ways. That's how people do it in Pokemon. I think I've told you about the RNG manipulation
in
that game.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, like, I really admire people who have that kind of dedication to numbers, because I sure as hell don't.
Yeah, even when they explain it clearly to me, I can't make heads or tails of it half the time, which is unfortunate because RPGs are so heavily based on numbers.
They're all numbers. They're just numbers with a nice coat of paint.
Yeah, I'm gonna cop to the fact that even as much as I love team building, I'm not very good at actively sitting down and building my own team from scratch. I suppose I could do it if really pressed, but most of the time I'm like, no, I'm going to go to the people who are much smarter than me. They're going to be able to tell me how all of the numbers line up and synergize and everything, and I will then put together a fairly ideal team. And then I will maybe swap out one part with a character that I like better than the optimal version.
Just to make things a little bit interesting. Shake things up a bit.
Spice it up.
Spice it up a little bit.
That's what I do in Pokemon. But before we get started on the most anticipated RPGs of 2018... let's quickly talk about the Nintendo Direct that hit rather suddenly yesterday. We were all kind of wondering, what the heck were we going to hear? Were we going to get some news on Fire Emblem? We knew, I mean, Pokemon would have gotten its own personal thing, so you didn't have to worry about that. Probably Fire Emblem would have as well. I doubt
I
that
so,
it would
yeah.
have been announced in a single Nintendo Direct, but... we were wondering if we would get some more RPG news and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And probably the biggest news that we got was that Dark Souls will indeed be coming to the Nintendo Switch, which I have some thoughts on that. Nadia, do you have any thoughts of your own?
It's I'm actually wondering about performance hits, because this is the quote-unquote Dark Souls remastered, and it's coming to PS4 and Xbox One as well, and I think PC. So I'm thinking, okay, is the Switch version going to be cut back the way they do with, say, like Wolfenstein, Doom, and all that, which is usually it's fine. You have that trade-off for portability, but Dark Souls is such an intricate game. Every movement you make counts. Every attack you make counts. Is it going to? Is the gameplay? Is this an instance where finally the gameplay is going to suffer for being on the Switch. So as excited as I am for Switch games, if I were to get Dark Souls Remastered, I would probably go for the PS4 Xbox One version, believe it or not.
I think a lot of people would probably agree with you.
Yeah.
I actually wrote a whole article.
Oh boy.
About how I was like, it's kind of an odd fit for the Nintendo Switch because it's so dependent on its online elements for a lot of its flavor and its appeal. Whole online communities have grown up around the PvP or being a sun bro and helping people out.
Sun bro, that's great. That's so cute.
That when you lose those elements by playing offline, you can still enjoy it. No doubt about that. It's still perfectly enjoyable on a plane or whatever, but it's not quite the same. I'm not that worried about a performance hit. I'm sure that if I were to guess, this is just my kind of prediction, that it will be closer to the PS3 or Xbox 360 version on the Switch, but with a few like nice little additions to kind of the graphical effects and also a better frame rate.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people would be happy with that, especially as long as it has a smooth frame rate on handheld mode.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I never thought about the online component. You're absolutely right about that. But I think that this is just one of those instances where the Switch certainly has its place in the industry. It has its niche. It's a really great, well-defined niche. And Dark Souls can go either way with that. So I'm happy it's there because options are good. But as I said, I would probably opt for another version of the game because it's just not a game I'm dying to play in bed, like, you know, or on a plane or on a bus.
It's a vote of confidence.
Yeah, that is true.
Because this would have never... So many times, the Nintendo system was always left out in the cold when these kinds of games would be announced.
Yes.
It's like, oh, Dark Souls Remastered announced for Xbox One, PC, and PS4. And the Nintendo console wouldn't even be in the conversation.
Now it'd be out.
And now it is. Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's definitely... I am glad to see that you have that vote of confidence because it says to me that developers... are willing to, even though like a game maybe not be the best fit for the Switch, they're willing to put the work into it and give it a try. And that's all I can really ask for.
I'll even go as far as to say that I would probably play it on the Switch over the PS4, the Xbox One.
Oh, really?
Because, I don't know, like, I was talking about in the article about how the atmosphere is not quite the same if you're playing on the handheld with your headphones on, but maybe I don't care that much because I've played Dark Souls already, and if I were to play Dark Souls again, I would want to be able to enjoy it in a different way.
Okay, that's a good point, too, because I have not played Dark Souls. I have downloaded Bloodborne, and I haven't played it yet.
Dark Souls Report with Naughty Oxford.
Oh, my God. I could give that a try. I would actually be absolutely interested in trying it, but probably by the second report, I start crying, and that would just be the whole report, me crying for
15 minutes.
So,
Nadia, what's your update? Well, I died, and then I died, and then I died, and I died. And I didn't make any progress.
I met a nice chap who likes the sun.
Yes. Yeah, no, yes, you would. But I suppose there's that. There are a lot of people who own the Nintendo Switch who will probably have not played Dark Souls, but will have heard of Dark Souls, will have heard of this legendary game that's kind of hard and everything. But there are lots of stuff online, too, lots of resources and things to help them out. So.
Yeah.
In any case, more broadly, I'm happy that Dark Souls is getting remastered because it's been way too long. For some reason, Dark Souls 2 got remastered before Dark Souls.
Oh, that's right. And that is kind of weird.
Yeah. And Dark Souls, there are the 360 and PS3 versions, which had a lot of technical problems. Like, you got into Blight Town, you want to talk about frame rate stuttering in those areas. And then there's the PC version. Which is the best version, but I think you gotta mod it.
Right.
I'm not super familiar with the scene there, but I remember that there were a lot of problems just out of the box.
Yeah.
That had to be addressed through mods, but then they were also having to deal with various patches and updates and everything.
I remember that too, yeah.
If you own the PS4 version, you can get a whole special collector's edition trilogy box, which is great for the super fans of the series.
Yeah. Very handsome.
But Bandai Namco is clearly milking this series for all they've got.
And that's probably the smartest move because, it's got that fan base. Even though I haven't played the games very much. I do love to just go through the wiki and read about the characters and the strategies and stuff like that. It's really interesting.
Well, Miyazaki's pretty adamant about not making another one, so Bandai Namco's going, crap, gotta milk this for all we've got.
I wonder if they're, like, standing outside his door with a boombox every day, slipping him.
Make more Dark Souls. No! Make more Dark Souls. No, God, go away. Make more Dark Souls.
We can give you lots and lots of money. No.
I think everybody wants Bloodborne 2 the most at this point, but... And then whatever the heck From Software is making now, which is mysterious thing,
a thing
that got a very brief teaser trailer, and that's it.
Yeah, so From Software is doing a thing. That's all in capitals, quote unquote.
On another note, aside from Dark Souls, there was some other RPG news for the Nintendo Switch.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a fairly big one. The World Ends With You Final Remix.
Yeah, that was a surprise. That was a very nice surprise.
Yes. It will have HD visuals, probably ported straight over from the iPad version, just based on what I've seen from the trailer. And a new epilogue, which is actually pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. I'm glad that there's a bit of new story content and... Joy-Con controls, so no more smearing your fingers all over your touch screen. That's nice. I like that.
I don't know. I'd probably do that anyway because it would feel very strange not to do it that way.
That's true because we're talking about The World Ends With You here.
Yeah, so I'd probably be like scribbling really hard with my finger on that Switch screen.
Yeah, because you can use both. But I'm excited for that. It's been so long since I played The World Ends With You. I didn't even play it on the phones or the tablets when it came out. So I'm looking forward to revisiting it. It's been 10 years.
How long was the DS... How scratched up is your DS Lite screen, Nadia?
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, my screen is hella scratched up, and you can blame The World Ends With You for that.
That is 100% the fault of The World Ends With You.
Because you'd be like, scribble, 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 as fast as can. Around. Yeah. I love that game, though. Now, that's a game that we could do for a report.
Yeah, I mean, given how long it's been, it'd almost be like playing it for the first time, like, for me.
Oh my gosh, yeah, it's been... I have not played that game in a good 10 years.
Yep.
Like, I think I last played it when it first came out, and I beat it a couple times.
Yeah.
And the reason that I'm actually pretty happy about the new epilogue coming out is that there's a lot of really nebulous stuff about that game.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The circumstances around several characters, and... At the end of the game, you can find these reports,
mm-hmm.
and you start to kind of understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't really paint a clear picture of what's happening. So,
right,
I'm always a little leery about over-explaining a game's mystery. Sometimes it's better to leave it alone. I mean, God knows Kingdom Hearts has a problem with over-explaining everything.
That and Final Fantasy VII, which had that really interesting, nebulous ending, and then they just blew it all up with the Advent Children and everything else that came that followed.
Yes, exactly. So, but, you know, I like this world, so I'm kind of okay with them kind of keeping it alive. I'm surprised they haven't made a sequel, to be honest.
Some people are saying that this is a sign that they're thinking of a sequel.
I mean, that's what we were saying when Nekiwin Company showed up in Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, I know. But
like back on the 3DS, back in like 2012?
Yeah. Hold
2011?
On
that was like 7 years ago.
Oh my God.
I think it's just that it's a series that's near and dear to Nomura's heart. And he will bring it back anytime he can. But yeah.
He's working on so many other things, he probably doesn't really have time to really dedicate to a full sequel. And that's a shame, because, like I said before, that is his element.
Maybe it's better that it just be that it's left well enough alone.
But I want his goofy-ass character designs all over, like, a freaking sequel.
If they made a sequel that was 3D, as long as they kept the style.
Yeah, you gotta have that style. It's so unique, there's nothing else like it. There never was, and it never will be until we get another one.
One more piece of RPG news. Ys 8 being ported over to the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited about that, especially since I don't know if it's out or if it's coming very soon, but the new translation is, like I said, either coming out or is out. So that's been totally overhauled. I'll probably dive into it again, give it another go.
Yeah, I think this is a good opportunity for me to give it a bit more time than I ultimately did when it initially came out.
Yeah.
Because Ys 8 definitely got a lot of buzz from certain quarters and even showed up on some best of lists for 2018. So this is a game that kind of flew under my radar personally. I know that it showed up on your radar a bit more.
Yeah, but I enjoyed it.
But yeah, no, this is a good opportunity to pick up on a game that I missed, and hopefully this continues. Though I was kind of complaining a little bit about all the ports that were coming onto the Nintendo Switch. And frankly, we just talked about all ports. World Ends With You, Dark Souls, and Ys 8, but it is what it is, right?
Yeah, it's just hard to criticize the ports of stuff I really want, and that's what most of this is. Like, The World Ends With You, hey, HD World Ends With You, I haven't been able to play this, I'm going to play this.
It's on iPad.
Yeah, but it's... First of all, I don't
have
an iPad.
It's the same game.
I don't have an iPad, number one. Number two, there's never any guarantee that Apple's not going to introduce a whole new iOS and it'll break everything. I mean, The World Ends With You was off the market for the longest time because Apple doesn't give a damn.
You can play it on your phone, too, you know.
I don't want to play it on my damn phone. My phone sucks.
Does it?
Well, it's like an iPhone 7, and it's just...
You have a better phone than I do.
It's okay. Well, my iPhone 5, sorry, my iPhone 6 just bricked out of nowhere. I could not get it. I could not resurrect it, and I was so mad because I have a iPod Nano from like 2006, and it lasted 10 years until...
That's a blast from the past.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. It worked. The battery finally gave out after 10 years. No complaints. And now every Apple product I buy just dies within a couple of years. And of course, that's the way it's engineered. And it's not just Apple. I'm not an Apple hater or lover. I don't care either way. But just technology does not last the way it should. And everything ends up in like landfills. And it's just really depressing.
It's true. I had a whole bunch of old gadgets that I was trying to sell or find something with, and nobody was buying them on eBay. So I took them to a freaking pawn shop.
Nice.
And they took like one look at this laptop I brought in from like 2010, and they were like, nope.
Really?
And I was like, "Really? It still works just fine. Look." And they're like, nope. The only thing they bought was my camera, my old digital camera.
Wow.
All the iPhones, they're like, hell no.
It must have like just they must be have like a mountain of iPhones in the back somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure, because people don't want them.
No. Why should they? They're out a new one next year. Like, but yeah. Long story short, I didn't want to play it on my iPhone. I'm happy to play it on the Switch. The screen's a really nice, happy medium between a phone and a tablet. Yep. Ys 8 is already on the Vita, but it is kind of a downgraded version graphically. So I'm happy to play that on the Switch. Yeah, I even though the whole Direct like was a little bit, it was a mini, so it's not a full Direct, and it's not like Nintendo's to blame because we're the ones who hyped ourselves up. But I was more or less happy with what was announced. Sure. Like, hey, here's 15 minutes of cool games coming. Okay, I'm happy.
And Darkest Dungeon's coming out January 18th on the Nintendo Switch.
That's
with
right.
The DLC. And if I can import my save, I will actually probably get it.
Yeah, it'd be great if you could import your save, though, but I guess we don't know one way or the other yet, do we?
Yeah, because my main save is now on my PC that's attached to the DLC and everything, and that's made me less interested in playing the vanilla version on my iPad.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So I'm keeping my fingers crossed that I can easily transfer my save like I could between the iPad and the PC version, so we'll see. All right.
I hope so.
All right, Nadia, let's talk about the most anticipated RPGs of 2018.
Yes.
All right, Nadia, the most anticipated RPGs of 2018 in no particular order. Let us start out first with a sequel, which is a breakout series from last year, and that is Yakuza 6, The Song of Life. Last year, Yakuza 0 wasn't much of a thing, right? Except suddenly it did become a thing.
Yeah.
Suddenly everybody was all over it. Like, everybody was all into it. And it was kind of amazing, actually, to watch this series that for so long flew under the radar for so many different people become a thing.
Yeah, and I'm actually really happy about that because we both know how badly the game, the series was marketed before, I guess, this year. Finally, people realized, hey, I mean, our own Mike realized, hey, this isn't a GTA clone. This is Shenmue, but interesting, is I think how he called it.
Well, the GTA clone thing was from when they were originally marketing in, like, 2006.
Yeah, yeah, it's just such a bad move.
Yeah, so, I mean, because they didn't know how to market it, but
no,
obviously, maybe our vocabulary is a little different now, and we can differentiate a bit, but... So when Mike and I were talking about the best of 2017, I was kind of skeptical as to whether Yakuza was actually an RPG, and blah, blah, blah. The line is so nebulous these days, etc. Everything blurs. But I was kind of wondering if it wasn't just, you know, a visual novel, right?
Mm-hmm. Where, it's kind of a combination of everything, almost.
Yeah, a little bit. So much of that game is, I don't know, like almost walking simulator-esque. But
it kind of is. Like, you got that walking sim element to it. You've also got the story-heavy element, and it really focuses on the characters, which I think really gives it that visual novel vibe. In fact, one really good thing about Yakuza that I noticed in 2017 was it picked up a really strong female fan base. Because they were, like, really into the characters and the relationships between them. So that's really nice to see. But Yakuza, you're right, is a very nebulous sort of series. It's a little bit of everything. And the best part is it does those little bits of everything kind of really well.
Yeah, I think Yakuza 0 ended up being the perfect gateway for a new fan base. Because, I mean, it was set in the 80s, so you got the nostalgia there. And you didn't necessarily have to know about the rest of the story to be able to get into it. It stood alone a little bit better, so.
It's a good jumping in point.
So before I continue, Ryder Kicker was taking umbrage at our denying Yakuza as an RPG. Ryder Kicker said, hey, I still take umbrage and you two denying Yakuza its RPG status. This, all you do is fight enemies for money and experience. You eat things, sleep in bars, and have many side quests. If you consider Kingdom Hearts with its keyblade swinging or Mass Effect with its shooting, then those aren't RPGs. Well, Kingdom Hearts has maybe a bit more, I don't know, customization and character growth to it. And Mass Effect has more meaningful choices to make during the storyline, I would argue. But,
that's true.
Where Yakuza tends to play out as like a soap opera, right? I mean, you're just kind of following it along. Like you're watching, it always reminded me of like a Korean soap or something that
I'd
be watching on Japanese TV back in 2008.
Yeah, so yeah, it's definitely like I guess a little more like a JRPG in that sense, though, isn't it? Like it's a JRPG has a set story that you're following. Of course, Mass Effect is very much more dependent on the choices you make, but either way, hooray for K-dramas.
Yeah, exactly. So, Yakuza 6, pulling from its Wikipedia entry, typical Yakuza game. Kazuma Kiryu returns, despite the fact that Kazuma Kiryu like retired back in like Yakuza 3. A guy just can't stay down.
Heck no, even if he wants to.
Apparently that features locations in Hiroshima.
Oh, that's interesting, because one criticism I've heard of the series is that it tends to be kind of samey in its location, so...
It has been, but it's gone a whole bunch of different places over the various games, but it always seems to kind of start in that familiar place that's based on a fictional version of a district in Shinjuku.
Right.
But apparently Kiryu finally is getting busted for all of his crimes over the years, and he's ready to, he goes to prison.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, doesn't he take the fall to protect someone? I can't remember what the full story was, but that kind of kicks things off because he's cut off from the world for 3 years, and when he gets out, well, everything's kind of upside down.
He ends up returning to search for Haruko, only to find out she's been left in a coma after a hit-and-run accident, and that she has a newborn son.
Yeah, total scandal. This is great. It's like we said, K-drama.
And now now there's a new baby, and that he's traveling with this baby, apparently. So we got another dad drama going on here.
it actually reminds me of Lone Wolf and Cub. I think it's supposed to evoke that. But yeah, it's total dad drama.
But yeah, so another Yakuza game. We're going to get all of the usual stuff that you can expect in a Yakuza game, with all of the insane side quests, which everybody loves, and all of the karaoke and the mini games,
arcade games,
walking along, punching people on the street in Shinjuku. Apparently, Beat Takeshi is a character in this game.
Sure, why not?
There are characters from New Japan Pro Wrestling in this game, apparently.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm sure my husband will recognize a few.
I'm looking forward to it, though. It's going to be out in March on the PlayStation 4.
Nice.
Small side note, by the way. I was talking about when we were doing the what do we want from the Xbox One, Nintendo, and PlayStation 4 previews at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody always talks about exclusives on the Xbox and how Microsoft doesn't have them, essentially. Well, Yakuza is a great example of the exclusives that Xbox just doesn't have.
Yeah.
I mean, Sony and Nintendo have basically swept up all of the Japanese exclusives at this point. And it's not insignificant.
No, it's really indicative of how the market has changed over the past, since the past generation.
Yeah, just a little bit. So, and I don't see a path forward in that regard for Microsoft, except to just kind of shrug it off and try to find a way forward and be like, well, we don't need that segment of the audience, unfortunately.
Yeah, or if they could really double down on fostering North American talent, European talent, whatever. But they have to figure something out. They probably.
All right. Next game on this list is a Western RPG, and it's a little bit smaller, but I am keeping a close eye on it, and that is Pillars of Eternity Deadfire. I've expressed my appreciation for that series a few times on this show.
Yes.
And so Pillars of Eternity, of course, was a great isometric RPG, kind of helped revive that formula or form of RPG. Had six characters, a large world to explore, great, very dark story of resurrection and death and that kind of thing. Lots of crazy characters, a mad priest and such like that.
All the cheerful stuff.
You had a fortress that you could upgrade. The fortress part was one of the weaker elements of that game, but I digress. A two-part story expansion that was pretty large, that took you into the Northern Realms. All in all, a great RPG with tons and tons to do. It was engrossing, to say the least, and I still recommend it. I think it just came out on console not too long ago.
That's right. Yeah, I meant to pick that up and give it a try because I am a console scrub through and through.
I heard we hate consoles on this show.
Oh, we totally hate consoles, yeah. We're lying to ourselves and each other.
But Pillars of Eternity Deadfire, Nadia, gives you a boat.
Oh, well, boats. Yes. I like boats.
I like boats, too. Boats, airships, they're a staple of JRPGs.
They are.
So it's nice to be able to get your own thing. And I think a lot of RPGs, you know, my favorite thing is when the characters get their own ship.
Yeah, it feels very liberating, doesn't it?
And not only feels liberating, there's a certain sense of ownership to it, right?
Yeah. Yep, and
especially when you can name it.
I was going to say, double points to the games that let us name it. Oh, I'm going to name my ship the SS Stupid or whatever. Like, and then you feel so...
I seem to recall that in Suikoden 4, which unfortunately was not a great Suikoden, you got your own boat in that one too.
Yeah, that's right. I never got very far in Suikoden 4. I just could not wrap my head around it. I was not a fan.
Yeah, well, you and a lot of people.
Me and the entire world. But I did name my castle in Suikoden 2, and it was a bad word, so...
Oh, aren't you so naughty, Nadia?
I am so against authority. Woot.
But Pillars of Eternity Deadfire, I think, will be... I mean, it's going to be... It seems that they took a lot of lessons from the original Pillars of Eternity and will be applying them to the sequel. Mm-hmm. And it'll be a fairly new story, so you don't necessarily have to have had to play the previous game to be able to pick up the sequel. And I'm really looking forward to it. If you want to be able to kind of hear more, I interviewed Josh Sawyer about it in previous episodes on the podcast, and you can go totally find them on our podcast feed.
Yes, they are there to pursue.
All right, Nadia, this one's in your wheelhouse. Dragon Quest XI.
Yes, I am very much looking forward to that. I was just trying to think to myself, I realized that I haven't really looked into the story too deeply. I don't know if I've done that like on purpose because I want to kind of save it for myself. But I do find the hero kind of interesting because the impression I get is that he's kind of traveling slash fleeing slash just rambling. And of course, that's always an aspect of Dragon Quest. But there's something very, this time it's like kind of the central nature to his character. He has a horse that says it all. I mean, it's actually... it's interesting. Usually Dragon Quest they give you like a big cat to ride on, but or a caravan, but this time you can just, hey, here's a horse. I'm like, okay, I can deal with a horse. I like horses. I am interested in why he's wielding like the Sword of Loto and other legendary items. So I'm sure that'll come into the story. I'm very much looking forward to it, although I still don't understand if we are getting both the 3DS version and the PlayStation 4, I think it's coming to Switch 2 at some point, or if we're only getting the high-definition version of the game. So there's still a lot about the game that's as far as the Western release is concerned that's still up in the air.
Well, I think that a 3DS version is possible, but I think the window is closing rapidly.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, and I think the new Direct kind of nailed that, didn't it? Like, you didn't really hear anything.
No, absolutely not. It sure seems like the stuff that's kind of left over is like the leftovers from last year and the ports or remakes, ports, Shin Megami Tensei remastered. There's a Kirby game.
Yeah, that's true. There is a Kirby game coming. But as far as Dragon Quest goes, which is a very niche series to begin with over here, and the amount of effort that goes into localizing and translating a game of that magnitude, I think it could go either way, and it's not looking good for the 3DS, which is a bit of a shame, but I can understand it too. I'm just happy to get it in any capacity.
If I were Square, and I'm not, but if I were, I would go all in with Sony if I could to give it a giant marketing push over here in the US.
Yeah. Nintendo has tried many times to push Dragon Quest with mixed results. But maybe
it didn't help that it was on the DS, which while a extremely well-selling handheld, like it's just a different beast from, say, the PlayStation 4, where people might have more appreciation for a large open-world RPG.
Yeah, no, you're right. One thing that I recall is that Nintendo really pushed Dragon Quest Monsters Joker 2 over here, and I don't think that really bore much fruit. We never got 3, unfortunately.
That's just a, like, you don't even know what the heck that game is just from the title, right?
No, exactly.
I was like, if it were just me and I just heard that title and I heard Dragon Quest Monster Joker, why would I buy it? What? What is this game? It's Batman in it.
Part of the appeal is that it's Pokemon, but for Dragon Quest fans, it's a very, very, very niche audience.
I mean, not that niche. I think there's some crossover between Pokemon and Dragon Quest fans.
Yeah, I think you would be right, because they do share a lot of similarities, like a lot of similarities. I mean, Five was, Dragon Quest V was the inspiration for Pokemon, but it did kind of have a definite influence on it.
So Dragon Quest XI has not been confirmed yet for North America, but just based on some of the things that I've been hearing of late, I think that it's pretty much a given that it's going to be out this year.
Like, we saw that video last year of Yuji Horii packing his slime into the suitcase and and going out of his office, which indicated to me that we are getting a lot more Dragon Quest over here. And, I mean, we just got a demo of Dragon Quest Builders on the Switch. So they try. They really try, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, I think it's 90% certain that we'll be seeing it this fall.
Yeah, I think so. Looking forward
to it. And if not this fall, then at the very latest, early 2019. Which actually would be kind of par for the course with Square on this stuff. But like I said, I'm hearing things that suggests to me that Dragon Quest XI is going to be out this year rather than next. It'd be nice if it would be really nice if the Switch version came out at the same time. And who knows, maybe surprise announcement, right?
That'd be really nice, because we definitely don't have a release date for the Switch version, I think, even in Japan. But if they just kind of dropped it all at once on us, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, indeed. So Dragon Quest XI, possibly this year, possibly this summer. I guess we will know pretty soon, won't we?
Yeah, let's hope so.
All right, so we've done Yakuza 6, we've done Pillars of Eternity, we've done Dragon Quest XI. Here's a new one, and this was an unexpected announcement from last year. Valkyria Chronicles 4, which is slated to come out this year at some point. It's going to be out in Japan in March.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if it came out in, say, August, September here in the U.S., and at the very latest, like February 2019. We've already talked about Valkyria Chronicles 4
it was announced. Yeah, we're both very happy about it, be assured.
Yes, we're thrilled that it's still alive.
Yes, and Revolution wasn't the end of it all.
Yes, I'm intrigued to see what the winter aspect of the game brings to the table. I've already talked about how I'm curious to see how brutal this game is willing to get, because Winter Warfare is famous for being brutal.
This is going to be the test, isn't it?
Yes. And this is the first time that the series is going back to going really, truly going back to console. Valkyria Chronicles 3 gets a lot of love from hardcore, but it was a necessarily limited game because it was on the PSP. Like, they pushed the PSP to the absolute limits, but the maps were smaller and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I really hope that they can recapture the magic of the original Valkyria Chronicles with 4.
Yeah. So far, things are looking good, but let's just kind of keep, just I guess, dial back your expectations a bit. But I'm optimistic.
Oh, my fear is that it's going to end up being, I don't know, kind of a watered-down version of Valkyria Chronicles. I think that's my biggest fear for it.
Yeah, I understand. But at this point, I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to hold my head high and hope for the best.
Yeah, I don't want them to do a rehash. I want them to forge into new territory. Mm-hmm. And the whole Winter Warfare thing seems to be a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I can see like climate becoming like a real factor in how battles go out.
Yeah. All right. Final one in our list of the most anticipated RPGs of 2018, Project Octopath Traveler for the Nintendo Switch. We played the demo when it came out last year. We were really impressed with it. We liked it a lot. And, I mean, I think the thing is that we really like the kind of visual flair that it has, what it takes, the way that it takes the kind of traditional 16-bit look and makes it pop on the Nintendo Switch's screen.
Yeah, I think they called it HD 2D, which is actually a very good way of describing it.
It looks a lot like Final Fantasy VI, but
I know. In HD, yeah. And I want that to happen. I want a Final Fantasy VI HD.
And, we don't know a ton about it. We know that it's going to focus on a variety of different characters and that you're going to be able to play through them, and they all have different abilities and such, and you kind of got a taste of that in the demo. But we like that it's a throwback, but it's a new kind of game. So.
Yeah, and it's very similar in some regards to Bravely Default. It kind of has that delay for a better attack reward system. Not a clone of it by any means, but is still definitely in the wheelhouse.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Project Octopath Traveler. So, we have a one Switch game, a couple PS4 games, like three PS4 games, and a PC game on this list. And my impression is it's a little bit slim pickings this year. This could be the second year in a row that we don't get a truly major Western RPG announced from one of the big from one of the heavy hitters, which would
Bethesda.
Be CD Projekt, Bethesda, and EA, BioWare.
Good point.
Like Anthem is going to be out next year, it won't be out until next year, and we haven't heard anything about a new Dragon Age, and obviously Mass Effect was a big flop from Bethesda. Who even knows?
Who knows what Bethesda has up its sleeve?
They'll be porting Skyrim to your microwave next.
Skyrim for my printer, please.
Yeah. And CD Projekt said beep.
Beep. Yep. We talked about the beep on our regular podcast.
Yep. The CD Projekt says beep. that may or may not mean anything, but I would be really shocked if we saw Cyberpunk before. It's not going to be this year.
No, probably not, but we'll probably find out more. I think that we might get some nice surprises as the year goes on, but maybe it'll be a little more subdued. Maybe it won't. Who can see the future?
I could see it being unveiled at E3 and announced for 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So they can do anything they want at this point.
They really, really can. And they're pretty much in everyone's good graces.
So some other notable games. Kingdom Hearts 3. I have my doubts that this game's coming out this year.
If I had to lay down money, I'd say late this year, but I can understand why you would think that maybe not this year. I mean,
I can see it getting announced at E3.
What, like, that it's not, that it's been delayed?
No, I can see it getting confirmed for E3 in a trailer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
But I just take it with a grain of salt, you know, like, do you think Square would go all Final Fantasy 15 and have like a major event laying out the release date and such?
I think they would. Kingdom Hearts is a really strong franchise for them.
It's really big.
It's pretty huge. And it's even one of those franchises where people who aren't like super deep into RPGs just love it.
Now, Final Fantasy and Kingdom Hearts are like two of the remaining crossover RPGs, like the games that break out, even compared to just regular, like they have awareness among the regular population as opposed to, say, Dragon Quest, no offense.
Yeah, so. I know. No, I totally understand Dragon Quest is a little cult.
They did show a Toy Story trailer.
Yeah, when was that again? That was
That was last year.
Yeah, so I feel like the game has made a lot of progress in recent months, years, whatever, but I really guess if I heard that like it was coming out in 2019, I'd be like, well, there goes my complete lack of surprise.
FF7 Remake Episode 1, they blew it already.
Oh, God.
I feel like such an idiot for assuming that it would even had a chance of coming out in 2017.
I forgot you even predicted that, but...
it was announced in 2015, for God's sake.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It's ridiculous what's going on with that game. And I predict that we are going to hear something about it this year, and it won't be released. I highly doubt it'll be released, but I do think we're going to hear and or see about how the game's just been completely rebuilt from the ground up because the first attempt was so flubbed.
Well, this is what, to quote one of my favorite other podcasts, I'm not in the prediction business anymore. At least not with that game.
Hell, no one's in the prediction business. I don't think God's in the prediction business for that game.
Monster Hunter World.
Yep.
I would put this on the list, but you want to talk about being in that nebulous line between RPG and not RPG? I mean, so much of this game, I mean, it's a co-op action game, full stop, where you are, I mean, you got to bring a lot of items and everything, but there's not a lot of character customization or even a story, so.
Yeah, it's all about the satisfaction of the hunt and carving things up.
But there is significant crossover appeal with the RPG audience and the people who listen to this podcast. Therefore, we will totally do an episode about it on this podcast with Bob.
Oh, Bob's going to have a lot to say, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. Well, Bob's a big Monster Hunter guy. So.
He is the Monster Hunter dude.
I'm looking forward to really getting into it this time. I've tried each time before, and I've like always kind of missed out on it. But this time, I think it's going to happen. I just wish it were on the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, that's. I'm actually, I've signed up for the mentor program they have going on where fans are... It's really nice what they're doing. They're having like veteran fans team up with newcomers to really kind of help them, show them the ropes, get them really into the series because it is a bit of a dense series to get into. So that's really nice for the fandom to mobilize in that way. So I'll be doing that, And I am looking forward to that because there's something about Monster Hunter I always feel like I should love the series, but for some reason something keeps holding me back. And maybe it's just the density of how hard it is to enter that series. But yeah, I'm like you. I'm thinking that, you know what, maybe this time it'll be the time.
For me, it was always that it took like 20 minutes to kill a single monster. So I was just swinging my sword awkwardly while trying desperately to dodge around them. And then eventually I would get bored. But I know that Monster Hunter fans are totally bristling at that extremely off-the-cuff denouncement of the game. No, I'm totally doing it this time. I'm totally getting into it. Meanwhile, Nadia is going to get her own training day with Monster Hunter. She's going to see the seedy underbelly of Capcom's action RPG franchise.
Yes. It's gonna be pretty fun. I'm gonna see things that I won't be able to unsee. But you and I, like, we should play together because it was taking you 20 minutes to kill a monster. Aren't you supposed to team up with friends? And
I'm gonna get codes for everybody on this team, and we're gonna stream it as much.
That's gonna
be
a lot of fun. That's gonna be a lot of fun. It'd be a nice change from PUBG.
Maybe I still like PUBG though.
PUBG's kind of fun too.
So also notable. Remakes for Secret of Mana, Radiant Historia, and Strange Journey all coming out this year.
Yeah, that's probably Mana is the one I'm looking forward to most, obviously.
Strange Journey for me.
Mm-hmm.
Secret of Mana doesn't really do much for me. But, I mean, I'm playing on the Super Nintendo. I'm playing on the SNES Classic, and I don't see any particular reason to play it anywhere else.
No,
the graphics don't do anything for me.
For me, it's totally like, hey, how did they change this? What's different? Did they screw up the translation? I think they did.
Yeah. Strange Journey. I really appreciated that game. I wish they were on the Switch rather than the Nintendo 3DS. But it is what it is. I think that it's such a good RPG.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a game that you should absolutely revisit. That for me is the... It's the SMT game I like the most personally.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and I am very, very new to SMT. Even for Persona, I'm still kind of a newbie, so maybe this is the one I should really use to cut my teeth on SMT.
Ni No Kuni 2.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I'm really lukewarm on that one.
I mean, we'll see, right?
We'll see, yeah. But I've been just kind of following a little bit here and there, and it's like very cute, but a little too cute. Like it tries a little too hard. Like just cats and mice and war, and not even in that cool Redwall way. It's just like I don't know. It looks all right.
Reminds me of Babar.
Yes, yes. Except even Babar was kind of had its moments. I used to watch the hell out of Babar. Oh my god.
So the Babar is like an elephant becomes like a king or whatever,
yeah,
and then they get invaded by the evil rhinos.
The rhinos.
And he has to learn how to become a king.
Lord Wataxis. I love Babar.
Oh my gosh.
When I was a kid, like, it was a Canadian series, so like Canadian series get played to hell up here, as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I had a neighbor who was from the Caribbean, and he just brought like all these amazing books with him, like Tintin and Babar, and we used to read it together when I was a kid.
But I'm still willing to give it a fair shake.
That's all I can really say for it. I'll give it a fair shake. It doesn't look like it'll poison me, so I'll give it a try.
The demo didn't really impress me.
Mm-hmm.
This is maybe a niggling thing to point out, but I really hate the jarring transition from the really chibi characters in the overworld to the more realistically rendered ones.
I know what you mean. I feel like they are trying to imitate retro games in that regard, retro RPGs, but they don't really have to, but they're doing it anyway, and it's just a weird stylistic choice. I don't know what the deal is with that.
And I think that it's a step down from an artworks perspective from the Ghibli, like the Ghibli look of Ni No Kuni.
Yeah, which was very, very impressive. Not that
it looks more like a Tales of game.
Yeah, it doesn't look bad by any means, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now that we've crapped all over Ni No Kuni 2...
Send us your hate.
I don't know. It's been delayed a bunch, too.
Yeah, that's kind of mysterious, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, who knows what's going on. So, fingers crossed that it turns out to be good, I suppose. It sounds like Bandai Namco is going to be giving it a fairly large individual push before too long. So we'll see if it's looking any better in the next event. But I don't know. Like, it was announced. It was a big deal on the PS4. And just all the coverage that's come out since has been kind of like, this looks okay, I guess. It's cutesy or something.
It's definitely the definitive wait and see game of this year.
Very much so. All right. A game that will not be wait and see for you, Nadia, Dragon Quest Builders 2.
Hell no, that's not wait and see. I don't think it's been confirmed for the West, and I'm really, really... If this doesn't come to the West, my heart will break into a million pieces and I will die.
It's coming on the Switch, right?
Yes. Yes.
I think it'll come out here.
I think so. I do. I mean, if they're giving us the original Builders, and they're still giving us, like, Dragon Quest Heroes and Dragon Quest Heroes 2, which are, you know, just kind of off-the-cuff, weird spin-off games... I have hope for Dragon Quest Builders 2, especially since the original... I wasn't the only one who loved the original. Like, it got a lot of great press when it came out.
World of Warcraft Battle for Azeroth. This is more of a Mike Williams territory.
This is a Mike Williams hour, because he spent his whole vacation playing Warcraft, which is great.
Good for him. Yeah. Going back to what he knows and loves. But
sure.
World of Warcraft Battle of Azeroth, just taking a look at what they're doing... It looks like they're going back to Warcraft 2 to me, because the whole idea is that the Alliance and the Horde are back at war, and they are searching for allies, and the humans are searching, are going to Kol Tiras, which I think is maybe the mage nation, Kol Tiras might be the sailing nation. A lot of this is going to be on the water, I think.
Yeah.
And Zandalar is the Horde, and they're going to recruit the trolls.
Oh, cool.
And, of course, the trolls... In Warcraft 2, the whole notion was that the Alliance and the Horde war had entered a new phase, and so the Alliance was recruiting the elves, and the Horde was recruiting the trolls and getting new races in there to help with the battle. Personally, I loved Warcraft 2 and Warcraft 3, and I think there's a certain just kind of fun simplicity to the Alliance versus Horde kind of...
There is. Like, I had no idea they'd even stopped warring, to be honest with you.
No. There was this whole thing where in Warcraft 2 they were at war, but then in Warcraft 3 it was revealed that they were infected with this blood curse from the demons from the Outlands.
I heard about that.
And in fact, they were like noble savages from a dying planet, Draenor, and had made like a demonic pact with the demons. But the orcs had found a new life in Azeroth and had gone off to start their own kind of thing. But I guess things kind of went south.
Things did not go as planned. I always said if I ever played Warcraft, I'd play as a Tauren, but now they have so many races, I don't know who I'd play as.
I always preferred the orcs.
The classic orc.
Yeah, though recently I've kind of like hedged more toward undead.
That's interesting.
I think Sylvanas might be my favorite character in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Just because... I don't know. She's a hot undead elf chick.
What more could you ask for, really?
And I liked the... Yeah. Anyway. World of Warcraft Battle for Azeroth. Coming out this year. Big deal. Somehow that game is 14 years old and still chugging
still
along.
Going. It's I admire its tenacity.
How an MMORPG can just... How a game can exist just on sheer momentum.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you have so many people like Mike who are like... They go to somewhere else for a long time, they come back, and they start playing it a lot, then go away and come back.
I remember in like 2010, 2011, thinking that it was mind-blowing that Asheron's Call had been around for a decade and people were still playing that.
Hell, Ragnarok Online is still around. Lots of people still play that.
EverQuest!
EverQuest is still around, I think. Or is it? Evercrack?
I don't know. I think they are. No, it totally is. EverQuest has to still be around.
Yeah.
The sequel never came around.
Right. But I just
Daybreak ended up killing that.
Yeah, that's right. I just love those like old RPGs that hang out on out of sheer spite, hatred for the world. I don't know, but they're just great.
Okay, two more RPGs that are fairly notable. Indivisible, which is coming from the folks who are making Skullgirls.
Yeah.
Combining two of my favorite things, two tastes that great taste great together, the battle system from Valkyrie Profile, yes, I'm listening, with the Metroidvania-style exploration. Okay, I'm in. Done. Yeah, that's all you had to say to me.
This was funded by Kickstarter, wasn't it? Because I'm almost 99% sure that I contributed to it and forgot about it. But I will definitely, like, just from the moment I saw it, I'm like, wow, I need that. So I'll be happy.
Yeah, I love that art style.
It's just great.
Yeah. So I'm all in on Indivisible. I love the art style from Skullgirls.
Mm-hmm, so do I.
And when this game comes out, it's day and date for me.
Yep. Yep.
In fact, I would even put that in my most anticipated RPGs of 2018.
There we go.
But maybe my more of a personal list. And the other one is Griftlands from Klee Entertainment.
Yeah, looking
forward to Klee Entertainment, or however they pronounce her name.
Klefki.
Announced at E3 2017, supposedly coming out fall 2017 or early 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't heard anything about it since?
Yeah, probably not early to 2018, but I'm hoping at least second quarter, third quarter. Don't have to wait too long for it. Because it was a really interesting looking game.
I was watching the trailer again, and it made me think of Dragon's Lair meets Mass Effect.
Yeah, that's a really good way to describe it. You got that Don Bluth style with the, hey, you can be a really nice guy or you can be a jerk. Like, I love that part where the character in the trailer sells out her companions, and they're just, like, cursing her from behind the bars.
Or maybe Shank in space.
Good point. But no, I'm looking forward to
it. I do like Klee Entertainment, though, and I think that they have a really keen understanding of how to make a really good game,
mm-hmm.
and they've certainly done amazing work in the platformer space. I really like Shank. Like, Shank 1 has such a good co-op mode. Mm-hmm. It felt like a game that was made to be in co-op, to
be
honest.
I've actually never played Shank. I should.
The original Shank is great. I didn't play Shank 2.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they're best known for Don't Starve. They did an amazing job in that space as well. They've just made a lot of great games, so it's really exciting to see them in the RPG space.
Yeah, I'm really happy to see them in the RPG space because they make very distinctive characters. Like, you can look at a character that they made and say, that's them. That's, I'm calling them Klefki. That's off the top of my head. I can't help myself. But Klefki. You say, that's them. So
one of the lamest Pokemon.
No, he. I bet he jingles as he moves. That must be so cute.
Wow, we're out of ideas for Pokemon. Well, just looking around the room, sees a set of keys hanging on the wall. What about a Pokemon that resembles a key ring? Go on.
Or someone had a baby and they were dangling
and
the
it's
toy
a fairy.
Keys.
And what if your keys go missing, but they're actually Pokemon?
That's amazing. I don't care.
I don't know. They always say that they have like this extremely specific process with spreadsheets and everything and how they're going to build it. I'm like, no, no. This is how they come up with Pokemon. They're sitting around. They're smoking some pot. And they're like, man, what if your keys were a Pokemon?
That, I have to admit, like, I'm not a big fan of the whole, like, you know, stoner equals weird game ideas theory, but there is something very stonerish about imagining your lost keys taking on a life of their own. To become a Pokemon.
All right, everybody. That's our most anticipated RPGs of 2018. Did we miss anything? Are there any RPGs that you are especially interested in? I'm sure that there are going to be plenty of people coming in to defend Ni No Kuni 2 after we absolutely trashed it.
We didn't trash it. We just kind of end it.
We killed it. We didn't have enthusiasm for it, Nadia. Therefore, we did not like it.
R.I.P. Ni No Kuni 2.
But yeah, if you're really pumped for Ni No Kuni 2, I really don't want to know why, because the battle system looks okay, I suppose.
All right.
I like the little thingies that follow the characters around,
those
I suppose.
Those are neat. Those are cute.
I'm okay with the story of the kid who becomes a king, blah, blah, blah. You want to find? Drop us a line at in the show notes. So, Nadia, we were talking about games that we should do for the next report, and we've had a lot of responses pouring in Writer Thinker Kicker says that they would consider playing Witcher 3, considering how much it sounds like Yakuza. A dude wanders a world filled with many things to do, beats up enemies for cash, and stuff, levels up abilities for combat, sexy action, compelling side quests. If I didn't have such an aversion to 200-hour RPGs, I would have bought it at launch. I just hope it's less daunting than what I hear of Dragon Age. Reox says that they strongly second a Persona 3 report. They played Persona 3 Portable several years ago as my intro to the series, and I absolutely love the themes and characters more so than 4, though to be fair, I only watched a Let's Play of P4. Might have been because I could actually play as a girl in 3, a feature that I'm hoping Atlas brings back in a future Persona. But most importantly, as Kat pointed out, Koromaru is an awesome dog. Such a good puppy. It's true. If you want something different from the JRPGs for the report segment, said Sketchlayer Josh, and something that could make for a quicker yet more conversation-starting sort of game, maybe a Fallout New Vegas report? Which factions are chosen, the companions, would make for some fun podcastery. It's not Naughty's usual sort of game, but maybe that can make for more fun. I actually really like the idea of doing a Fallout New Vegas report.
Yeah, I'm not anti-Fallout by any means. I mean, I've played quite a bit of 4, just I had to stop because I got so motion sick from it.
I also saw Fallout 3 thrown out there as a possibility as well.
Fallout 3 I've played, but I never really finished it.
Molaram has one that might be up your alley, Nadia. Mm. A Terranigma report.
I would love to do a stupid Terranigma report. Like, I'm playing the game right now because I got it for Christmas, and it's such an odd, weird, unique game. I miss Quintet so much.
Nuclear Vomit's vote goes to FF7 for the next RPG. If chosen, you must rename Barrett to Mega Man and Ketchy to Cat Shit. MattCom26 says, Cosmic Star Heroine Report. The game simply has insanely inventive mechanics that I think listeners should hear more about and would be fodder for great conversations and entertaining battles. The story and soundtrack are top-notch as well, and it's only 30 hours or so not biting off too much. Not a bad idea.
Yeah, honestly, I don't think it's 30 hours, but it's a very brisk RPG. I came close to finishing it, but I never finished it, so I wouldn't mind starting over again. But it was a lot of fun, as I recall. It was a really, really well-put-together RPG.
But I've seen a bunch of suggestions for Witcher 3, for sure.
Definitely.
Fallout 3. Rene DaCosta, sorry if I'm pronouncing your name wrong, asked us to please declare a moratorium on Persona or Final Fantasy reports. I kind of understand that request, but it's kind of up to the listeners too. So Fallout 3, and they suggested Fallout 3, Deus Ex Human Revolution, Mass Effect Trilogy, which would be quite the
undertaking.
Witcher 3 and KOTOR. And if it has to be an RPG, they requested Cosmic Star Heroine, Phantasy Star 2 or 4, Romancing Saga 2, Terranigma, and Lost Odyssey. And I might have already mentioned this, but there was also somebody threw in Valkyrie Profile.
Right.
I would totally be all in on playing another Valkyrie, playing through Valkyrie Profile. But personally, I don't want to stop my Witcher 3 playthrough. I'm really enjoying it.
Cat's all in on Witcher 3 right now.
I am all in on Witcher 3. Yeah. I spent a whole bunch of time playing last night, and I was getting like bits for my armor. I got a new suit of armor. I got the cat school of Witcher gear. I'm very excited.
Cool. Okay, I'm sold. Witcher 3.
I'm all in on finding the coolest armor set and upgrading it into infinity, because the armor suits improve as you upgrade them. They like their looks improve.
Oh,
so I love that. So I was like looking at the master and grandmaster variants. I'm like, oh yeah, no, those look awesome. Yeah. Like I dumped one of the most powerful, the Griffin set is actually probably one of the better sets of armor in the entire game. And I opted not to go with it because I'm like, no, no,
doesn't look as cool.
It's too boring.
Really? A Griffin? You would think a Griffin would have like a really cool design.
It's okay. It's just really kind of bland.
Very fantasy, blandish, I guess.
Yeah. I think you can actually dye the suits of armor in blood and wine, but I could be wrong.
Sweet.
Okay. So this is what we're going to do, Nadia. We are going to post a poll with a whole bunch of RPGs that have been nominated, and you can vote on them on social media. or via the show page. And we will announce the winner on the next episode. And we will do our first report on the next episode. So, looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's the fair and democratic way, I think.
I'm going to put out a prediction. I think it's going to be Witcher 3 that ends
so
up
too,
winning.
Which I'm fine with. Like like I said, it's been at the hovering in my I got to play this sort of list. So,
hey, if you finish Persona 4 Golden, you can totally finish Witcher 3.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I don't get too distracted by side quests and everything.
I mean, Witcher 3 is a long RPG, but so is Persona 4 Golden. Let me
so
tell you
Persona
that much.
So is Persona 5. That took me quite a while.
Nadia's good at tearing through RPGs. She did it with Final Fantasy IX. She just ate that thing for lunch.
Yeah, I can do it. I have skills.
I appreciate your hard work and dedication to the Blood God.
So do I. No, it's fun.
And with that, Axe of the Blood God is a US Gamer podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever podcasts are sold. If you enjoy the podcast, please leave us a note, a review, anything. A review would be really nice, because the more people review our podcast, the more visible it will become on iTunes. And we're always looking for new subscribers. Tell your friends. Somebody started a Reset Era thread for us just recently.
Nice.
So.
Oh, I hope it's
yeah,
nice.
if you're on that message board, maybe you should go post in that and kind of keep us visible over there.
Please.
Keep proselytizing for the Blood God.
Please do.
Among the masses.
We need some converts over here.
Yeah. And of course, next week we will be doing our first RPG report for whatever game you guys end up choosing. I'm very interested to see what that game ends up being. You can find me on Twitter at @_Capot, Nadia at Nadia Oxford, and check out everything on usgamer.net. This is tertiary, this is not RPG related, but we posted a pretty cool feature about EA Sports Big and like SSX and the history of that and kind of the rise and fall. And we got some really cool essays going up next week, including another doc special about Titanfall 2. So keep an eye on the site for that. Of course, Monster Hunter World coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Lots That's of that cool. coming up. And Dragon Ball FighterZ. Dragon Ball FighterZ? Fighters? Yeah, whatever.
I'm calling it FighterZ.
Lots of coverage in that regard as well. And check out our flagship podcast every Wednesdays, and we stream every Tuesday and Thursday, twitch.tv/USGamerNet. Okay. Until next time, I've been Cat Bailey for Nadia and myself. Thanks for listening. Until then, happy adventuring.
Persil sorgt schon seit 1907 für tiefenreine Wäsche, auch bei den Johnsons, oder Anna?
Das stimmt. Sogar meine Oma hat schon mit Persil gewaschen.
Und als Dankeschön für über 100 Jahre Vertrauen gibt's jetzt bis zu 15 Euro Rabatt auf unser Bestes.
Das mit der roten Schleife.
Genau, made in Germany. Mehr Infos auf unserbestes.persil.de.
Wenn es tiefenrein ist, ist es Persil. Unser